everybody. I'm very tired. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Common Sense with me, Mike Omani. It's a joy to welcome you back. Wow, what a week it's been since the last episode where we spoke to you about the chat we had with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Couple interesting responses. Of course, some have been cool. So, you know, we got a chance to speak to ABC News on their podcast called the AirPod, I think it's called. If you have time, do check it out when you get some time. But we've also had some very interesting responses, mainly from folk who don't think Prince Harry should be speaking, and thought that the interview was nothing but a photo kind of opportunity. I disagree, of course. That's why I took part. So you can see the range of responses online if you just go on TCS Network. You can see that there. But welcome to this podcast. If you don't yet, do follow us on Instagram and Twitter, LTCS Pod. It's really hard starting like new Instagram pages, but we have to do it. So please do follow us if you haven't done so already. Now, what's the point of this podcast? Well, we want to help you make sense of the news or the week's news. It can be very long, very boring, but we think we can inject a bit of common sense into your commentary. So we've got a great guest today. Someone who came down from Nottingham. Up or down? I don't know. It's
up.
Yeah, up. Yes, there we go. Manchester is on top of Nottingham. So he came up. So we're going to meet him in a minute. But before we go straight into that, some top news for you. Michael Gove was in the news twice this week. I know, it's crazy. Two times. The first one was him essentially confirming what's now a really sad change of the government's strategy. Remember, stay at home? I mean, I still remember that day where Boris Johnson came on my TV and was doing the, if your friend asks you to go out, say no. I remember that. And now they've ditched that stay at home message because Michael Gove told Sky News just this week that more employees should return to work rather than staying at home. He said this, and I quote, because the economic engines of the country need to be fired up again. When it comes to the economy, isn't it funny how the Conservatives always find a way to put our lives in danger? I'm joking. I'm not going to be political. It's an easy one today. His comments came, of course, after Chancellor Rishi Sunak unveiled a raft of emergency measures to try and revive our stricken economy. He pledged, again, more than £30 billion in a recovery package to try and boost the economy. Now, I have one of our journalists actually working on a piece detailing where is the Conservative Party finding this money? £30 billion. I mean, that's not something you have under the couch. That's a lot of money. So where is this coming from? We're going to cover that this week, tcsnetwork.co.uk. Now, the second story is this hoo-ha about PPE equipment, namely masks. Of course, we're all being told to go out more. But what should we wear when we're going out? You know, Michael Gove, again, said that he doesn't think face coverings should be compulsory. When you go to shops, he says we should trust people's common sense. Now, this is obviously a problem. Yes, we're the Common Sense Network, and there's a pun there. But, you know, like my mum says, is common sense common? Let me know what you think. LTCS online. I don't think it's common. There's a guy who lives opposite my house who always gets in his car around 2 p.m. I'm not watching him, by the way. I can see him from my desk. And he just revs his engine and then zooms off for like 1 second and then comes to the end of the road and then has to turn right. I always ask myself, why does he zoom off? It's a 2 second drive. He doesn't have common sense. So if you can't trust people to drive, how are you going to trust people to use the correct or to stay the correct social distance or to use masks when they ought to? I just don't trust people. But anyways, Michael Gove told BBC's Andrew Marr that using masks was a case of basic good manners. Now, Boris Johnson disagrees, and this is something we're used to. He says a stricter approach needs to be considered because people need to be made to wear masks in confined spaces. No doubt that debate will keep on going. But on to more fun things. It's sunny outside. Look outside the window now. I bet it's sunny. If you're in Manchester, probably not. But it's sunny everywhere else, and we are seeing social distancing measures easing. Lockdown measures are easing from 2 meters to 1 meter. Now, the big question people have been asking is, all right, yeah, we can go to the park. We can, you know, have those weird barbecues with those indoor barbecue thingies. But when can we party? We want to party is what people have been asking. So listen, I've taken a look at the government advice for you so you don't have to. And that's what it says. Currently, you should not hold or attend any celebrations where it's hard or difficult to maintain social distancing, like parties. So you're technically not allowed to have parties, which is really sad because, I mean, it seems like people are doing it anyways. I mean, if you have Snapchat, I do have Snapchat. Oh, damn it. But I don't really use it. But if you have Snapchat, people are always posting about parties. So I thought, why don't we bring in somebody who is an expert in parties? Someone like who this is what they do. They live and breathe parties to talk about this issue. You know, will we ever party again? So joining me today is Michael from EMG Entertainment. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. That was quite an introduction. Damn, I was just paying attention getting the news from you. Wow.
But it's true. You're actually a party expert. You run a company based all around parties.
Yes, I do. So my name is Michael Shenario. Originally, I was just born in Washington, D.C. and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. But I'm Nigerian. I went to university in the U.K. I did my undergrad and master's here at Hall and Loughborough University. Shout out to them. And right after my master's, I started an entertainment company, aka a party company called EMG Entertainment, where we throw the biggest events and parties, both public and privately. Publicly in terms of EMG host the parties, and privately in terms of we host events and parties for corporations, small businesses, or individuals. So I guess you can say, I'm a pro.
You're a party expert. Well, first and foremost, how has this affected you, but also your business? So if you're a party person, I imagine you must love a good party, right? You love a good party. So how has it affected you not being able to party all these months?
I'm happy in a way because the thing is, as much as I like going out having a good time, when you're the one running a party organization, there's a lot of stress behind the scenes. I mean, we've been grateful enough that, you know, this past year alone, we threw over 35 events in Lagos, Nigeria, which is where...
Between January and March?
In 2019, between January and let's say our last event was in March this year. So from January to March this year, we threw over 35 events in Lagos, Nigeria. So, I mean, it was fun. Every single event was packed out. We had an average of about 400 to 500 people per event.
Oh, the social distancing.
So
I can't even imagine that now.
Exactly. So it's like... It was fun. It was something new for everybody in Lagos because people didn't really have something like what we did because we started off doing house parties at first, but we made it professional house parties. And the thing is, when people hear of our brand and all, what we tried to do was we tried to target people from all areas. So we actually targeted professionals, non-professionals, entrepreneurs, you know, business people, lawyers, etc. Because in Lagos, you have all these different people that are working hard, but they want to party hard at the same time. So, I mean, it was a great experience, but with COVID happening, you know, business is definitely shut down for the year. Our last
So this is for the financial year. So do you think till next year, March?
I mean, the thing is, every country's government right now is literally at the same point. They're all trying to figure out what's next.
Yeah.
And in Lagos, for example, we had measures where they were, you know, locking down everything. Then they said, we're going to open places by this date. But then, of course, the cases have been increasing. Mm. So they had to now change the date and close it.
Yeah.
So right now, there's so much uncertainty in terms of when things will open that we've all just accepted that, you know what, let's just see it as events are done for the rest of the year. Now, December, which is always the key period in Nigeria.
That's a big time.
What's going to be the test?
Right.
Yeah. So if they allow us to have events in December, then yes, maybe we can do something in December. But if it's a case that people still can't, then we're looking to start again in January of 2021. And to be honest, I see no rush because, you know, I was one of those people at first when the COVID first started that, you know, I didn't believe it. I was like, it's not going to be that bad, etc. But like I was telling you earlier, I have a girlfriend who works for the NHS. She's a nurse on the front lines. So, you know, every time she comes home, she tells me different stories about what she's seen and what she's been through about COVID. So that's what made me start taking it seriously. Then, of course, you just see the numbers increase. So it's like, I feel like right now this period is a blessing in disguise for a number of us, you know, that probably live hardworking lives, that you're out every time. You know, somebody like me that does events, I was out every single night. Not that I wanted to, but that's work. But this is the first time in like 2 years I've had time to just rest.
That is quite interesting, actually, because of course, I get that. There's a there's a personal benefit to you. You can cool down, you know, discover purpose, meditate, all these things you do. In fact, I heard a friend yesterday I was speaking to, he went for a hike, which is crazy because he's like 20-something. He went for a hike. He's off to the Lake District next week. Before that, he climbed up some mountain. People are doing some crazy stuff just to try and occupy time. But what about for business? Like, how has it affected business? Because of course, you can speak to the Nigerian context, but the hospitality or the leisure industry, which is probably what your business would fall under, it's been one of the hardest hit by COVID. And, you know, Rishi Sunak has announced a number of measures, initially, we have the furlough scheme, which we now know has come to an end. But for the most part, you know, gyms are opening this month. We're seeing other leisure centers open this month. So we're slowly getting back to that kind of leisure part of the economy.
I don't agree to that.
You don't agree?
With the way they're trying to say they want to open everything by the end of this month, I personally don't agree with it. Because if you look at the beginning of when COVID started, England was not taking this. I mean, I'm not from England. So again, I'm watching from the outside.
Yeah. But tell us what you
arrived,
can see.
Exactly. So when I arrived, I saw how they were not really taking measures properly to make sure COVID is handled. And look at what happened in the end. You know, the UK has had so many deaths recorded. They didn't know what they were doing. And then at one point, they were trying to say, oh, let people just become immune to it. Let people do ETC. So it's like, you even opening up the centers now, who says COVID is still not happening? Are their numbers still increasing or are they decreasing? You know, has the second wave come? So I feel like when they open up, for me personally, I'm not in a rush to go out. Like, I've obviously started going to the parks and all, but I still wear my mask everywhere. But to just go to the gyms and all, as much as I'm excited, I don't really know. I'm just going to be patient, if I'll say that, to see what happens.
Well, I want to find out. So how is this? What's this like in Nigeria? So of course you've been stuck here.
No, but I still keep in contact every day at home. Cool. Yeah.
So what's it like there?
They actually have been practicing the measures properly in terms of the first few months, nobody could leave their house.
Really?
Like, they had police everywhere. Like, they actually took it very seriously. Like, if you are outside and the police officers called you, you know, we know Nigerian how the officers are.
Well, so some of our listeners may not know. What's it like?
Okay, so for people that are listening for the first time, you know, how would I explain this in the right way? Because I don't want to put my country down at the same time. Let's just say, you know, the police are not as lenient as the UK police, where you can have a conversation with them. You know, if they tell you to do something, you listen and you go do it. Very simple. So in the end, people actually paid attention to
it. But what would happen if you were filming the police in Nigeria?
I mean, the thing is, people have done it. I mean, I've been through my own personal experiences with the police. I actually almost got kidnapped by the police at one point.
Kidnapped by the police?
Yes, that's actually happened. You know, I told you, doing events and all. See, unfortunately, in Nigeria, there's a very big stereotype with young Nigerians, especially young men. So what that means is there's a term called Yahoo Boys.
I think I've heard about that.
So Yahoo Boy, so the term Yahoo Boy stands from people that do fraud.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not all Nigerians. And because of the media hype and all, they've really put that label amongst Nigerians when it's not even all of us. It's probably a tiny percentage of them. For example, you just saw Hush Puppy recently, who was...
I have no clue who that is. Who's Hush Puppy?
So for people that are listening for the first time, there was this internet quote-unquote mogul social media influencer named Hush Puppy, who was a wealthy millionaire on social media, who lived in Dubai. A lot of people in the entertainment space and others knew him because he flaunted his wealth throughout Dubai. He lived in the most expensive places, hung out with the richest people for years. And the FBI recently just took him down. In fact, Dubai made a whole trailer for taking him down. That's why it was so big.
Wow.
So recently, America just took him into custody. So now he's in America because he tried to... I think he's the one that tried to scam a Premier League team and steal over $100 million from a Premier League team.
Gosh.
Then also steal
Hush
money.
Hush Puppy.
And steal money. Glad and then the worst part is he tried to steal money from America for the ventilators they were trying to get for COVID.
Oh, God.
So... That kind of stereotype.
It's good that they got him then.
Yeah, so that stereotype now comes to Nigerians. So in Nigeria, the police, when they see young men, they always feel like a lot of us are Yahoo boys because we're young, we dress differently, our hair. You know, the African hair is to people that don't know that are African, they always want you clean kept and all. But if you have hair that's sticking out, or hair like mine, for example, that I have like some twists.
You have a lot of hair.
Exactly.
For those who are listening and going, what does he look like? He has a lot of hair.
But it's clean. I have a lot of hair, but it's clean.
Yeah, it's clean. It's well, it looks well groomed.
So if they saw me now, they would think I'm a Yahoo boy based off the way I dress and how I look. When that's not the case, when I'm a graduate.
Would they think I'm a Yahoo boy?
You?
Yeah.
No, but the thing is...
Look at that, guys.
But the funny thing is, when they see you, they'll know you're a foreigner.
How?
They can tell. The thing is, it's every Nigerian can tell when somebody comes from abroad.
I'm a Nigerian.
No, you see, you are a Nigerian. In the end, we're all Nigerians.
Yeah.
But we can tell those that either just move back or live abroad because, you know, there's a bit of freshness in you. There's a bit of, you're not going through that Lagos stress. So even me, when I moved back for the first time.
No. You're saying a lot of words that people have to. What's Lagos stress?
Lagos stress is like, in easier terms, whatever city you live in, I'm sure there's certain things that stress you or people go through in that city that all of you can understand. So it's the same thing as Lagos because, you know, it is a hot climate. A lot of people get stuck in traffic. The traffic is just as bad as, let's say, India.
Yeah.
To put it in context.
So
you're going through that stress, then the work stress, just the lifestyle. But in the end, there is a lot of beauty to it. Like I say, you have a lot of fun at the same time. You do a lot of things, but it's just that stress you go through that, you know, all of us can relate to.
You know, it's actually one of the things that I think has been very interesting to consider. I think quite a few people, myself included, you know, plan to, you know, just when I think about social distancing in somewhere like Nigeria, I just think, to what degree is it actually enforceable in a country that has a hot climate? You know, here, you know, one of the major reasons I think we saw people breaking and flouting lockdown measures very early was because there was a bit of sun. There was a bit of sun out. People ran out, tops off. Well, you know, having street parties, all that, things of that nature. In Nigeria, it's always hot, from what I remember. Last time I was in Nigeria...
It's raining season right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So I guess it must be easier for people to stay indoors then.
Exactly.
That's good. Okay. Well, let's move on to something else. I guess my question for you now is, away from the Nigerian context, do you think it's actually possible... because, you know, I was reading the stats a few minutes ago and I've forgotten them, but we saw a lot of deaths just yesterday.
Wow.
In fact, double the amount the day before, I believe. So this idea of, will we ever party the same way again? You know, because what experts are saying is, even if social distancing measures are, you know, reduced even more, you know, from 1 meter, I don't know how far down you could go, but suppose they are reduced even more, or they're kept at 1 meter, which is what most people think will happen for the foreseeable future, how can you have a social distance party? Is that actually possible?
I think that's actually possible because, you know, some of my partners...
Oh, come on. A social distance
my
party.
My partners and I were actually talking about it because this period is also a chance where gives people a chance to be creative and think of new ideas.
Yeah.
So in the end, if you're a business, you're going to have to think of a way to continue.
But come on. What's a social distance
party?
So
let's say, for example, even if it's a case that some people... that are diehard party people want to party. In the end, even if you have a party that everybody wears a mask, let it be. Because
no, but it's about social distancing. So how can you have a party?
To be fair, they did something in Nigeria actually recently. I saw something where they had a social distancing party where everybody was in their car. So they actually parked the cars outside and had a concert. So it was an artist named Naira Marley, who's one of the biggest Nigerian artists.
He's an Afrobeat artist, I'm guessing?
Yes. So he had a concert where the stage was set up outside in a big parking lot.
Yeah.
And then there were rows set for all the cars. So that's like your quote-unquote seat to now see the artist perform.
And do you think that works?
I mean, from what I saw in the video, it was all right until it got overcrowded.
Yeah.
So, for example, like it was doing well at first. Like, okay, this looks well. But, you know, population size-wise, it became overpopulated because cars are trying to come in. Then people get out their cars because they're stressed. Now everybody's stuck together. So in terms of social distancing, I think it's just a case of you're going to really see a lot of who's really creative in the industry to find a way to make it happen. Like even if they put certain sections in the party, or like I said, if you can't avoid social distancing for a party, then everybody wears a mask in the party. Worst case.
You know, call me old-fashioned, but I just think, one, I don't like parties to start with.
Really?
I actually hate parties.
Why?
The music's too loud. number one.
You know what's funny? People like you are the ones I always get to come to my parties.
Hold on, hold on. Listen, I'm not going to be a convert. I can tell you for free. So one, a lot of people have tried. So one, music's too loud. Two, it's sweaty. I hate sweat, and it's especially when it's in a enclosed area. Three, it's typically claustrophobic, most parties. There's a lot of people there. There's too many people. And four, people touch you. I hate being touched. So as you can see, these are the four deadly things that I can't stand.
Wow.
And that's so imagine the joy in me when I heard that certain festivals were cancelled. I was like, come on.
So wait, you don't go to concert festivals?
No, I don't. I used to. I'm a musician, so I can play, I can do all that kind of stuff, but I would never go to a party or even a concert to watch. In fact, when's the last time I went to a concert to watch a concert? I cannot remember.
Wow.
Of course, I've been to many and I've performed and done stuff like that.
I need to bring you to Lagos.
Ah, well, this is one of the reasons I'm staying away. But I guess, you know, did you see different festivals cancelling? So Glastonbury,
yes.
Afro Nation.
Yes.
I want to ask you about Afro Nation.
Afro Nation, I was actually supposed to go this year with my friends.
Okay.
That got cancelled.
Well, have you got your money back?
No. I didn't pay at the time. I was just going to pay on the spot.
Well, what's your thought on this? Because I didn't know much about it, but I read about it.
I actually felt bad for them because, you know, Afro Nation had so much success the first time they did it last year. Like, I remember there was so much, like, criticism in terms of, oh, are they going to be able to pull it off? Oh, how's this going to work out? You know, Africans. But it ended up being one of the greatest festivals of the year. Like, shout out to Smaid. His name is Smaid.
Yeah.
He's the one that organizes it. And it was such a great festival. And then they did the second edition in Ghana in December. So this year was supposed to be, like, the big year. Now that they've done two, everybody was going to go. Like I said, my friends and I were going to go because it'll be our break. Then they've canceled it. So there were so many fights and, you know, comments about, oh, do we get our money back and all. And as a business person, I had to look at it from the side of the business in terms of, imagine how much they probably spent already to set this up. And then the refund, now all of a sudden, like, you guys, nobody's going to see it that way. Everybody's like, I want my money, but I can imagine how they're going to recoup their funds. Yeah. So I can only imagine what a lot of festivals went through. I heard some things on social media, like American festivals, like some places were saying, like, no refunds at all.
Yeah.
Like, if you paid, you paid. So even just in terms of how they're going to do it moving forward, I said, it's a case of, it's going to be a lot of individuals who are going to show their creativity to pull these things
off. Well, this is the thing. I mean, one nuanced point to make is a lot of big companies that are white-owned that have been running for much longer were able to invest in safety measures like insurance. So you know, Wimbledon isn't a concert, but Wimbledon cancelled straight away because they've been paying this disaster emergency fund that they pay in cases like an earthquake or there's a reason they can't have Wimbledon, so that they actually make money. So when they cancelled Wimbledon, they got a payout for it because of the money they've been paying before. But of course, let's be honest, Afro Nation's new, it's fresh, it's still developing, as you've said. So for that reason, perhaps they didn't have that kind of
money.
But you know what you've said that is so interesting to me, and away from being someone who doesn't really enjoy parties, I just don't get it. I can't hear anyone speak. I'm like, Mike, what did you say? I'm just like, can we just turn the music down? Like, I'm a bigger fan of a games night or something at the house
chat. We also do that, by the way. We also do game nights.
With music, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I just think you should turn the music. I love music. I listen to the music every day, but in parties. Anyways, so one thing I have seen, though, that's been quite interesting is innovation. So we saw, if I'm correct, we saw, I think, who started the Versus? I think it was Swiss Beats and Timbaland.
Yes, so I've been following that. A lot of people have been doing that, so I followed that. That was something.
So explain that to people who don't know. So
Versus was Instagram live series battle that was started by Swiss Beats and Timbaland, where they got major artists to go against each other in terms of their catalog of music and play 10 songs each of their best songs, and they will battle each other. So one person plays a song, the other person plays a song, and it's usually the fans that tune in that, you know, enjoy the concert. And I think it was a period, because this was about, It's they still do a few here and there, but its peak was maybe a month or two ago. So at that period, that was like our form of entertainment where everybody was tuning in and you felt like you were at a concert because, you know, you would set your schedule, you would plug in the speakers and you would hear all the great jams from like that artist. They're like, oh, they had this. And then, you know, when one person plays one song, the person be like, oh no, I'll do you up one, play the other song. So it was a nice...
Why don't we just do that? I prefer that to those parties.
There's an experience you get at concerts personally, like in with like face to face, that you can't get anywhere else. Like, again, the phone was fun, but it died out. The thing is, social media is a fun tool, but no matter what, there's a limit to it in terms of you're gonna have the max fun and then you're gonna need a break. In terms of in a real party, real concert, like until they say go home, you can stay there the whole time. Like, even Tory Lanez, for example, who's a big artist from Canada and globally, he was doing quarantine radio. I don't know if you heard about that.
I saw that.
So quarantine radio was something that, so quarantine radio was one of the highest viewed, you know, segments during its period, and it was a new form of, that's why I said people were being creative of just what to do. It was a radio station that he started, like, you know, I am playing music, but then I'm going to get people on. So as I said, people are going to find new innovative ways.
I hope they stay, man, because you're right. Like, the innovation I've seen so far has been interesting. For me, you know, those verses or, you know, Tory Lanez, I didn't watch his show. I think it was a bit...
And then there was one
more,
actually, I didn't mention. There was one more I've seen in England that has been doing very well. It's called the No Signal Radio.
Yeah, I know about No Signal.
They've been doing very well in terms of their own verses because they cater, obviously, to, you know, the Afro-Caribbean side of people from the UK, and they've been doing very well.
Yeah.
So
they've done very well. I think they currently have a GoFundMe live, actually. So you know, because they're trying to build a radio station.
Okay.
So if anyone's interested in that, do you check that out? That is No Signal Radio. The innovation's lovely. It's really good. In fact, I think, you know, the good thing about it is it's all the stuff I love, like music, without all the mess. And I think that's what I see parties as. Yeah. So let's move into a different phrase now. So suppose I'm going to say a statement and you've got 1 minute. So this is called change my mind. All right. Listen, I'm very free thinking. I'm a libertarian. I love ideas. However, I'm stuck in my ways in some ways. Okay. So I'm going to say a statement and you've got a minute to try and change my mind.
Interesting. Right? Okay. Let's go.
You're convincing, you're a salesperson. I can see it already. You've got that Lagos way about you. Your words, not mine. So I'm going to say a statement and you've got a minute. Right. And we'll see if I'm convinced after that minute. Okay. So here's the first one. We've kind of covered it already, but online concert experiences like verses, right, are more enjoyable than live concert experiences.
Yes and no, depending on the person you are. When you go to a real concert and you actually get to experience that artist face to face, there's a feeling you get that you'll never get anywhere else. So for example, Chris Brown is one of the most talented artists in history. Unfortunately, he had his case that does not allow him to be to the point of where he should be, which I think is Michael Jackson level. The day I saw this man, that it's a controversial statement, but we'll talk about that later. But the day I saw this man perform face to face compared to when I've seen him perform live on television, when I used to watch BET award shows, MTV award shows, when I saw him in person, there's a feeling I got that I've never felt before. And even not just him, other artists, that experience being watching the stage is something you can never get again. And for me, being a people person, I just like meeting new people, mixing with people. When I'm at home watching verses, I have my fun, but there's a point where you get bored so easily. I mean, you yourself, I'm sure you get bored of your phone a lot.
Time's up. Now.
Oh wait.
You had a minute.
Wait. I mean, you know what? I just realized what you said. I was just too passionate.
You have a minute to convince me. Now, if you guys were convinced by that, let us know.
People, don't be people, don't be convinced by that. I wasn't trying to sell anything at that point. I was actually just speaking from the heart because I'm still confused I'm still confused how you don't like concerts. So I'm trying to explain missing.
No, here's the thing. So I do like concerts from the performer side. I get that. I think it's standing, even the thought of standing up for 50 minutes, my head is already hurting me.
Okay, can I say one statement in terms of convince you?
Yeah.
What happens when your phone dies and you don't have a charger?
You charge it. Oh, if I have a charger. Well, that's not going to happen.
Don't say that. That's just a hypothetical.
No, it happened.
I was watching a versus battle, right?
Four different portables. I have multiple chargers, fast chargers.
I was watching a versus and I was enjoying myself. I was drinking, you know. Then next, you know, I get that tick. You only have 10% left. Now the live has frozen. Oh, where's my charger? Oh, my charger's not working. Oh, concert done.
In a way, you're being punished for bad preparation. And I think that's good. That's the universe's way of saying, you know what? Prepare properly and you'll enjoy that. I can't lie. I don't think I was convinced by that. But again, it's because you didn't know.
Let me give you another one.
Another statement. Another statement. Because I've seen you say some stuff about the UK or just being here. So I've got a statement for you.
All right. Let's try round two.
Being in the UK is far more enjoyable than being in Nigeria.
No. In Nigeria, Nigeria is a place where you can have an adventure every single day. Nigeria is a place where you're forced to use your brain every single day. Nigeria is a place where 1 minute you can be chilling in an office and then the next minute you're chilling with the richest people in the world. Nigeria is the only place where I've seen some of the biggest celebrities come and I've been able to be face to face with them compared to the UK. Nigeria is just beautiful, man. Where else do you go that is sunny every single day? There are beaches to go to every day. There's good people, good food. There's so much to do. The UK is a lovely place, don't get me wrong, but everybody, it's too quiet. It's too quiet. You need a place where there's adventure. You need adventure every day. Lagos is the kind of place where if you want adventure every day, you can find it every day. If you want culture every day, you can get it every day. If you want good food, if you want parties, you want anything you want, you can find it in Lagos.
Right. Time up. Right. Okay. That was much better. I'll tell you that. You...
When I said the UK is quiet.
The UK is too quiet.
No, let me explain why. So like
that's
for me,
so funny.
And the thing is, I think I have a fair point to say this because like I said, I grew up in the United States. Yeah. I was born and raised there for 17 years. Yeah. I didn't move to Nigeria until I was 17. And that was the first time I was there. So imagine a 17-year-old American going to Nigeria. So I had to adapt quickly. Then I came to the UK after 2 years there and I did my undergrad and master's there for 5 years. Now for me, these 5 years in England were the best years of my life.
I had
a lot of fun. But that was university. Now, as an adult, I lived here for a year as an adult. And also, I still keep in contact with all my friends. Life is completely different as an adult when you're in the UK. It's like they feel like it's just the same pattern over and over again. Where in a place like Nigeria, a lot of people are forced to become entrepreneurs. Whether you work, no matter what you do, even if you're in a high position in 9-to-5, you are forced to become an entrepreneur because the economy, unfortunately, is not as strong as it should be. So that gives you that outlet to, you know, go for an adventure every day because you're going to seek something new for your business, whatever it is. So you're going to be experiencing new experiences, meeting new people. I'm not saying people don't do it in the UK, but the system in the UK is already set that a lot of people can live comfortably in their own means.
Yeah.
There are things in place that help you. So people just get comfortable. Nigeria is the kind of place where you're not allowed to be comfortable. You're only comfortable if you're rich.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know what? I hear you, but you know, I've got for all my British folk who are going, Mike, say, you're gonna let him say that.
I love the UK, by the way. Shout out to the UK, by the way.
For all my British people, I mean, we just have a different way. I say we, you know, there's the Black British experience is obviously very multi-layered. A lot of us are Black British and that Black is a capital B and the British part.
I was going to ask you a question about that actually.
The British part is a small B. Well, go ahead.
So the thing about the Black British, because like I said, I'm somebody that loves culture and, you know, observing the culture here, the Black British culture is a very unique and interesting one to me because when I was in America, like I said, you grew up with the mentality when you're Black that you're a Black American.
Yeah.
I identified myself as Nigerian there just because my mother used to explain to me I'm Nigerian. And when I used to go to family houses, that's how I knew I was Nigerian. But when I went to school and just my normal thinking, it's Black American because I grew up there. But here, the Black American in the UK, how do you feel? I feel like a lot of people identify with their African roots, but then a lot of people don't still have a full understanding of their African roots, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like, you know you're African, And then there's some people that have gone out their way to start going back, you know, home. Like in the last few years, Nigeria's become the hub that a lot of people from England travel back. So it's good. They're starting to experience it. But a lot of people still don't have that. Like, when last did you go to Nigeria? When I was two. What? So what do you think about the Black British, like...
It's interesting. You know, it's complicated. There's an academic answer about how we think about identity, where identity comes from. Of course, where we spend our formative years, where we build schematic knowledge, you know. If you were, I was born in Nigeria. I lived in Nigeria for 5 years.
Oh, really?
Years. Yeah,
I lived in Nigeria for 5 years. That's what I said. I mean, people be like, I was born in Nigeria.
I speak Yoruba. Read Yoruba, yeah. But, you know, a lot of my formative years were spent here. So I learned here. I worked here. All my experiences that I can remember are from here in the UK. So, you know, I identify as Black British, of course, if I had to take something. But also my identity is literally split in two. There are parts or there are moments where I am literally Nigerian, as in I'm chopping up in Yoruba with mum, we're just doing our thing. And there's times where I'm sat with, I don't know, the white CEOs, and we're talking about like whatever, right? Yeah. So I can do that. I can kind of switch. It's way deeper than I think we can get into at the end of a podcast, and maybe it's a good thing to discuss kind of next
time.
That's
another topic.
Now we're gonna get you back. You're gonna be
I'm here for a while, a permanent resident.
Now.
I'm here for a while, so.
But you know, it's so interesting because, you know, you've got that Black American thing. Like, you know, as Raven Simone once said, or what's her actual name? When she said she's not Black, she's American. I think the Black identity has been interwoven into the American story somewhat, such that some people would call themselves African-American and not... Sorry, would call themselves African-American, but not... But that African part is really just... It's just there for the sake of being there.
I love how you said that.
Yep. But, you know, it's something worth exploring. Like I said, in another podcast, probably. I know some people are listening and go for it now.
I'm like, that's another topic, man.
Because of time, we got to stop. But, you know, I get it. You like partying. I can see it already. You're... having fun, you know, all that's missing.
You know what's crazy?
Music.
A lot of people actually, because I'll talk about this on another podcast. A lot of people like feel like I'm a party guy every day, 24/7.
You look like a party guy.
So I look like it, but because you know,
you look like a Yahoo boy. I'm joking.
I have 2 degrees, people.
I'm joking.
I have 2 degrees.
I don't even know what that really is. Like,
it's another topic. I'll explain, but. But I was saying the party thing, I feel like for me, you know, doing it as a business, like I say. And just, you know, we've had so much success that I've become more of a very homebody.
Yeah.
And like I said, this period has been a blessing because I've got to rest. I've got to think, you know, finding new talents I didn't even have.
Yeah.
Like I started content creating.
Really?
Where I started doing a lot of comedy skits and just different content, and it started trending all over Lagos, and some started trending in Nigeria.
Nice.
This is things I've been wanting to do for a time, but I never had the time because I'm always out and about. And just, you know, actually just being at home and sitting down and getting to think. As I said, like the party thing, I know will always be there. Like, I'm always going to party, like, but at the same time, I like just, you know, having that time to think and just be creative. And
this is really good.
Things.
I think that's a good model for people listening as well. You know, lockdown is over, but innovating isn't. And I think there's still, you know, sometimes history happens so quickly. I mean, let's think about it. You know, 2020 is going to be that year. And probably following a couple of years after, where we'll look back and be like, we didn't even really know what was happening because it's changed our business forever.
You know what scares me? There's so many things that have happened this year that you don't even realize happened this year.
Yeah. Like China, the World War III almost happening, or the Prime Minister of the UK almost
something
dying.
Something simple as Kobe dying, man. Like, Kobe passed away this year.
That was, I mean, news is moving so fast. I mean, let's not forget, folks, Brexit is still being negotiated, and we're going to be leaving the EU next year. But, you know, there's so much happening. But, you know, I could talk to you forever, Michael, but... I know we have to stop here. I have to ask people to subscribe. We've got to bring you back on, of course, and do a deep dive into identity. Because one of the interesting debates that actually happened in the Commons Network group conversation today, group chat, what the hell? Group chat, that's the one, was about BAME. In the UK, we
black,
have BAME.
Black
and minority
there
ethnic.
Was a group, I have a question
about
that. We have
to stop, because I know you're going to take it.
No, let me ask this one question. Come on now. Guys, you know, stay with us.
Right,
stay with us.
Go ahead.
But
go ahead.
That BAME name, I've never understood it. Because when I came to university, like, I used to also be president of the African Caribbean Society in my university.
Of course you were. I mean, what else? I mean, come on.
I did a lot. But there was also a BAME Society at the same time. And so I used to ask, what's BAME? Like, oh, black... I don't know let me not go and say the wrong thing, but I knew BAME was sort of closely related to African Caribbean Society.
Yeah.
Why is that name BAME? Who gave that title of BAME? And don't you feel like it's a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Discriminatory a bit?
A lot of people say it fails to understand the nuances between each letter because it just merges them together. As
yeah,
though they're the same
exactly.
Thing. It makes the experiences convergent.
Because the experiences
in a way not.
That each group is going to go through is completely different.
Absolutely.
The experiences that blacks go through is different. The experiences that Asians go through is different, you know. And there are some similarities between our cultures,
yeah.
But our experiences are completely different. So that's why I'm like, why would they just...
Michael, you're a prophet. This is our next conversation on that
really?
cliffhanger.
I'll be back.
On that cliffhanger, we're going to stop. But folks, please, do subscribe. LTCS Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, follow Michael. Michael, where can people find you?
So, my personal Instagram is Scenario on Deck. That is Scenario on Deck. That's my last name, on deck. And our business is EMG Entertainment. You can find us on Instagram, EMG_ENTS. And if any of you are looking to come to Lagos, Nigeria in December or next year, you know, hit us up or hit me up and, you know, we will sort you out. What we usually do in December is when a lot of people come in from the UK or America,
yeah.
We're the one that organizes like their nights out. So we know all the places to go to and we have relationships with them. So we organize events for them there. Then we have our own private events that we let people come to. So it's an experience. Like I just brought my boy who lives in the UK. He's from Trinidad. He came to Nigeria for the first time in December, had the time of his life. So to anybody else that's looking to come, you'll have the same experience. But shout out to Mike for having me on here.
It was fun, and there's not enough time to chop it up. But I think we've got good topics to cover and things to read to do a deep dive into. I'm really interested in this identity point. It's something I think is worth exploring, and no doubt we'll do so. But folks, you know, until next time, thank you so much for listening, and share this episode with someone you like, and you know, let's start a conversation. Will we ever party again? According to Michael, definitely.
Yes.
And he's looking forward to it as well, I'm guessing.
2021 I'll be, that's when we'll be back.
Thanks for joining us, man. Take care.